Okay, we have the opportunity again to open our Bibles, and we're going to go back to James chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And I've named this the untamable tongue, because the tongue cannot be tamed, the human tongue. James 3, 7 through 8. And let's pause briefly just to ask God's blessing on this time that we have together. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we just thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of the throng, and that we can follow him. And it's our desire, Lord, to understand your word, to know how we should conduct ourselves in this world of sin and darkness, and that we might be better equipped, Father, to pursue righteousness and to do those things which honor you and to behave in a way that is a true and holy witness to our friends and neighbors. Father, bless this time. We thank you for your word, and we pray you're giving us understanding and speaking to our hearts, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The tongue is a little member, very little, but it can do great damage. The uncontrolled tongue is like a wild beast. And that's what James says here in chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Let's just read it. He says, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison." God made man in his own image. Man is intelligent. Man is not an animal. God made man to rule over the animals. And even in New Testament times, 2,000 years ago, people knew how to train wild animals. Man is the steward of God's creation. When God created Adam and Eve, going back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, it says there, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Genesis 1:28. For centuries, people accepted that and generally obeyed it. There is a vast difference between man and beast. But some people have lost sight of that in recent times. As obvious of a truth as that is, they've come to believe in evolution, a very popular theory, and other godless philosophies, and that has caused some people to get a little confused about the difference between man and beast. They say man is just another animal, and that some of these people do, and man is just another animal, and that we have no right to impose our will on our animal friends. Well, animals can be nice pets, but they're not people. Your dog may be able to understand a lot of things, and dogs can be well trained and do a lot of things. It's amazing what dogs can learn, but they're still dogs. And so don't get too sentimental about your pet, whatever it may be, because there's a vast difference between people and animals. The hunting of lions was banned in Botswana in 2016 out of sympathy for the lions. And now some of the villages are experiencing more lion attacks on their livestock and sometimes even upon people, as in the village of Gunostoga, Botswana. On February 20th of this same year, 2017, lions attacked the villagers there and wounded several people, almost killing one man. Biologists say that the lion populations are increasing across Africa, and they need meat to eat. And they're killing more domestic livestock and threatening people. And there are many other examples of animals out of control, from sharks that attack swimmers at the beach, people swimming at the beach, or even rampaging elephants in India. We hear about things like this. A wild beast out of control can do a lot of damage. And that's the way the tongue is. The tongue can be that way. Man's tongue can cause a lot of damage. And so today, the first point I want to make is we notice that all beasts are tameable. Verse 7, James 3, verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. When Noah entered the ark, he took two of every animal and bird with him into the ark. Some of those were wild animals, ferocious, dangerous animals, like the big cats. Some others were swift and could easily escape, like the deer and the gazelles. But the Lord brought them to Noah, and he was able to lead them peacefully into the ark and place them side by side in their places. And they remained there calmly for almost a whole year until the flood had passed. The lions didn't attack the zebras, and the wolves didn't bother the sheep. They were tamed. Only later, after they began to spread out in their new world, and after they had started to multiply, did they become violent and dangerous again. Some animals, of course, were created for domestic use, like the cows and the horses, and they're meant to serve mankind. Other animals are inherently wild, like the bears and the wild cats, and yet man has learned to tame them all. Up until recent days, you could go to a circus and people there could see how they had actually tamed elephants, huge elephants, made to do tricks for the audience. Now, out of political correctness, that's banned in many places. Men have also been able to tame tigers and train them even to jump through rings of fire. That's rare anymore, but they were able to do that. Certainly it would be dangerous. But they use a method of rewarding the animal with food when they obey, and animals quickly pick up on that. Maybe you have seen trained dolphins jump up into the air, high into the air, out of the water, and do stunts for the crowds. It's amazing what animals can do. Falcons have been trained to hunt like rabbits and other small game for their master. I'm always amazed when I see the dressage, the big horses, you know, prancing around, because under the control of a rather small person, a big, strong stallion will prance along in step with the music and obey his master's strict commands. It's amazing to see. It's a beautiful thing to see. All animals can be tamed and taught to perform tasks within their sphere. Since animals are not made in the image of God like people, they don't have a soul. They don't have a conscience. Your pet or your dog or cat, whatever it may be, does not have an eternal soul. They don't go to heaven or hell. Don't get too sentimental about your animals. They're here to serve man. When they die, of course, they return to the earth, and nothing remains. Animals don't think like people. We see cartoons, you know, and we impose, the people who write the cartoons impose human thoughts and ways on animals, but animals are not like that. They don't experience things like pride or shame. They just obey what they're trained to do. And it's amazing, of course, what they can do. A seal can balance a basketball on its nose. Dogs, of course, know how to fetch. Dogs can also serve blind people as seeing eye dogs. It's just a matter of making them understand what you want them to do and then rewarding them for the correct behavior. And they can do it. We have, of course, there are horse whisperers, as we call them. There are dog whisperers. These people observe animal behavior and learn to read body language and the keys of communication with animals. And it's amazing what they can accomplish. Some animal rights activists get sentimental and want to extend human rights to the animals, and that's one of the driving forces, of course, behind vegetarianism and these unusual diets. Because why should we be eating our friends? You know, that's that kind of an idea, and so they can think that way. The people that don't have any milk or dairy or anything. For that reason, sometimes if you're allergic, I don't want to criticize that. That's maybe necessary. But animals are given by our Creator to serve mankind. And they can be tamed. But the tongue is untamable. And that's my second point. The tongue is untamable. And that's what James says here in verse 8. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Man can tame animals, but he can't tame his own tongue. Man's own tongue, you see, is worse than the wild beasts at that point. Can't tame his own tongue because his tongue is out of control. You can tame any wild beast, but not the tongue. Adam's first sin, after the fall, after he had sinned against God by eating the fruit, his first sin after that was to blame God for his sin. That's what Adam did. Let's look back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 11. It says there, the Lord confronted Adam, and he said to him, this is the Lord speaking, he said, "Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" A very simple yes-no question. But this is what Adam answered back. You see, sin had corrupted him, and this is what he answered back in the very next verse in Genesis 3:12. He says, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." In other words, Adam's saying, "Yes, I ate some, but it was that woman you gave me. She made me eat it. Now, I wouldn't have eaten it myself, but you gave me this woman, you see." Trying to transfer the blame. So right from the start, man tried to shift the blame to avoid taking responsibility for his sin. And this is the common pattern of behavior that we see today, constantly. People won't own up to their own sin. They make excuses. They try to justify themselves. We try to justify ourselves. I'm included. Adam was telling the Lord, "Well, maybe I have eaten the fruit, but she ate it first. as though that was somehow not so bad. We hear that same exact logic constantly. We've even repeated that ourselves. No, the Lord commanded Adam not to eat of that tree. It was a simple command. And that was the only tree in the garden that he had to avoid. He could eat from all of the other trees. There were lots of other good trees. He had plenty of good food. But he decided to disobey the Lord and eat from that forbidden tree also. And then the blame game continued right on down the line. When the Lord confronted Eve blamed her disobedience on the serpent. It seems to be so hard to accept responsibility for our sin. And you cannot correct what you don't acknowledge to be a problem. Everyone has sinned, and there is no excuse. Confess your sin and find forgiveness with the Lord. We can be forgiven if we confess, if we own up to it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You simply have to humble yourself enough to acknowledge your sin and ask forgiveness, trusting in Jesus. James says there in verse 8, he says, the tongue is a restless evil. And the original word there means to be like fighting against something. It's a little bit more than restless. It's like describing the idea of a wild animal kept in a cage. If you put a wild beast behind bars, it charges and it tries to make itself free, tries to get free. If you put a rhinoceros in a cage, you better have a very strong cage, because they have tremendous power and they can break out of almost any cage. They have to actually tranquilize rhinos if they're going to transport them or something. Well, the tongue is like a wild beast in a cage, always seeking a way to escape, looking for some way to get out. It's very restless. If you catch a leopard and put it in a cage, it will fight fiercely against its restraints. And if there's any weakness in that cage, if there's one bar that's not welded completely together, if there's any weakness there, it will find that weakness and it will break out. It will escape. Sometimes, you know, when you go to the zoo and you see those wild animals in their cages there, I've seen often some of the wild dogs and such, they're pacing back and forth, or the cats. They just go back and forth, back and forth. They're looking for a way to escape. And that's the way man's tongue is. Always looking for a way to escape. It's looking for a way to break out of its cage. You see, God's put the tongue behind a row of teeth in its cage there, but it's constantly trying to break out. And David, King David, knew this, and he prayed in Psalm 141. I mentioned this before, but I have to mention it again in verse 3 there. He said, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. He knew that he couldn't trust himself, and neither can we. We can't trust ourselves. Our tongues are constantly seeking to break out, longing to be free, so we can just say whatever we want to say, regardless of the consequences. It's foolish when I hear people say, I just have to get this off my chest, and then say something foolish. You've probably heard people say something like that. This is something I just have to say, and they cast out bad things, that hurtful remarks that leaves tremendous damage. The only way to keep monkeys in a cage is to put them under lock and key. Now, monkeys are not as strong as some of the other animals, but They're so clever, you see, with their opposing thumbs, that they can pick their way out of any kind of a latch door, any other kind of a fancy lock system. They have to be put under lock and key. And that's the way our tongues are. We think of clever ways to pass the blame to others and to excuse ourselves. People are very skilled at cutting down others in a subtle way. And they will suggest things that make their enemies look bad in an indirect way, in a subtle way. Some people are very good at humor. They make us laugh, you know. And with their humor, they ridicule others. And they will insult others with such finesse that we may not even notice the damage that is done until it's too late. The tongue knows how to wiggle through the bars of its cage and drop hints and imply things and mislead and accomplish great damage. No one can always control the tongue. It's a restless evil, constantly looking for a way to get out. It knows how to slip out of its cage and do the devil's work. And the evil that the tongue accomplishes is deadly. James says at the end of verse 8 there, he says, the tongue is full of deadly poison. Full of deadly poison. Mere words can kill. Look, for example, at wicked Queen Jezebel. Back in the Old Testament, her husband King Ahab wanted to buy Naboth's vineyard. He had a beautiful vineyard, and so he went and offered to buy it, but Naboth refused to sell his vineyard. Ahab came home pouting like a little child. And so Jezebel conspired to have two worthless men accuse Naboth of blasphemy. And so they lied, claiming that Naboth had blasphemed God. And of course, the penalty for blasphemy is stoning to death. And so they stoned Naboth to death for something he did not do. And then Ahab just took the vineyard for himself without any opposition. This shows the deadly poison of the tongue. Our Lord Jesus himself was crucified because of lies. If we look in the gospel account in Matthew 26, toward the end of that chapter, verses 59 through 62, and then verse 65, it says, now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking, notice they were seeking false testimony against Jesus. You see, they had their law, and they wanted to abide by their law. They had to have two witnesses. So they were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, this man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. Then skipping down to verse 65, then the high priest tore his robes and said, he has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? Matthew 26, 59 through 62, and then following. You see, this is the way the world is. This is the way it works. They find the evidence they set out to find one way or another. Even if you have to distort things, twist things, lie about things. They say they are objective and scientific, but people are driven by sentiment. Every hot button issue is this way. Whether it's the global warming scare or the hate Trump movement or whatever it may be, misinformation and lies are purposefully added to cause mischief, and their hypocrisy may be glaring, just like it is here with the chief priests, but still they do it because they can't control the tongue. It's driven by a hateful heart, and the results can be deadly. You know, poisonous vipers are very, very dangerous. God has equipped snakes with sharp fangs and poison to catch their prey. And they can pose a serious danger to people as well. Some snakes are so poisonous that if you get bitten by a snake, by one of these vipers, it can kill a person in a rather short time. There's one viper called the death adder, and it's a very dangerous viper. They're found in Australia and New Guinea and other regions. One bite can result in paralysis and respiratory arrest and death within 6 hours. Doesn't take long. Of course, a snake lays in wait, may wait for a long time for an unsuspecting animal, and then the animal passes and the snake strikes with deadly poison. The Bible describes man's speech like this in Romans 3:13. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. That's a description of a deadly viper. The internet can be a wonderful thing, or it can be a den of poisonous snakes. It is sad to hear sometimes young people who start to exchange messages on social media and have become victims of cruel words. We watched a documentary recently of a 13-year-old girl who wanted friends, a normal 13-year-old girl, and her friends, her mother didn't want her to go on the internet, but all the other kids were on the internet, and so her parents finally gave in and let her join MySpace. And there happened to be a neighbor girl right next door, about her age, but for some reason they did not get along. And so this young girl set out to find friends online on MySpace. Well, she quickly met a charming young man named Josh Evans, 16 years old. There was his picture, and the relationship went back and forth. And soon she had fallen in love with a young man she'd never even met in person. One day, the relationship for some reason turned sour, and Josh started calling this young girl bad names, all kinds of horrible names. And he said that nobody liked her and all of these things, and that she would be better off dead. Now, her parents warned her not to continue the relationship, but in spite of her parents' warnings, the young girl continued to exchange messages with Josh. One day, they found their daughter hanging by her neck in her room. In her frustration, she had committed suicide. Now, that was bad enough, but it was later revealed that the mother of the young girl next door, remember the girl next door? That mother had created the Josh character and purposely provoked the suicide tragedy. Josh Evans didn't exist. The neighbor mother was just trying to avenge her own daughter's hurt feelings for being slighted by her friend. The tongue is a deadly poison. It lays in wait to take innocent lives. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, was a victim of deadly lies. He faithfully and effectively preached the gospel to his countrymen. But because of hard hearts, they refused to repent of their sin. And we read about the account in Acts chapter 7 toward the end there. Stephen says to them, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you." Acts 7:51. And of course, they became enraged. Everything he said was true, but they couldn't take it. In Acts 6:11, shortly before that, it says, "They secretly instigated men who said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God.'" And so there they had their basis for not just rejecting him, but attacking him. And so in their rage, they rushed on Stephen and stoned him to death as he called on the name of the Lord. And he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Acts 7:59. People kill God's people because they hate God. They don't want to hear the gospel, and they're intolerant of those of us who preach it. People are incorrigible sinners. Parantumattamat sunti said. Incorrigible. They use their tongues to destroy their neighbors. They can't get their tongues under control. They can't tame their tongues. They may write their thoughts down, like on social media, but they know how to inflict pain on those they hate. The tongue can wound and kill from a distance. Like an angry beast in a cage, it wants to break out. And it finds a way to escape its cage and to strike out. How many innocent minds have you poisoned with your tongue? How many have you wounded? How many others have you wounded with your words and your tongue? To tear down another person's reputation is to murder him with your tongue. The tongue is untamable. We need God's help to tame our tongues. And the first thing we have to do is to find salvation by repenting of our sins and turning to Jesus Christ by faith to forgive us. He died and he rose again for our sin. And if we are truly submitted to the Lord Jesus and desire to do his will, we can get control of our tongues. At least most of the time. We may fail sometimes, but we can quickly repent. God help us to quickly repent. We must learn not to say everything that comes to mind, because the tongue is full of deadly poison. We must learn to restrain our words. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3:10-11, he says, "For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." Man's speech betrays his heart. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew 12:34. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And if your heart is pure, it will show with words of kindness and love and peace and restraint. If it's not pure, the consequences can be deadly. Amen.